Lord God, thank you. Thank you for being the one who holds our lives. Thank you for being the God who is the uplifter of our lives. Thank you for being the God whom we can trust our lives and the lives of those we love. And on this day, as we open your word, we thank you that your Holy Spirit is present, that indeed you are the one hovering over our lives. You're the one being poured into our lives. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you would be our teacher as we read and we open these words of Holy Scripture. This is our prayer. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. It is well with my soul. Amen. Yes, it's well with my soul. But on this morning where this state of Oregon and into Washington and into California, the whole West Coast, it seems, but there are so many who have lost so much. Not just houses and lands, but lives of precious loved ones. And so the question that we ask this day is, how long, O Lord? How long? I was thinking back, it's been six long months since we gathered here as a PVC family. The last Sabbath that we were together, gathered in this place, and there were, you know, like two or three times as many that time as there are here today. It is so good to see you. I'm so glad you're here. It's so good to be in God's house together. But on that day of March 7, Pastor Jonathan Leonardo was here. On Friday night, we'd had that big soup gathering, the soup supper together, and enjoyed that. And then the services that happened Friday night, and then Sabbath morning, and of course Saturday evening again, another soup supper, and the buffet there, and then that evening meetings again. I mean, what a high Sabbath. We had no idea. We had no idea. I'm glad we don't know the future. You okay with me on that one? I'm glad the Lord knows that one. I'm willing to trust him with it. We had no idea in that moment that would be the last time we'd be together until September 12 of this year 2020. What a year. If someone had predicted this back on New Year's Eve, said, hey, I got a prediction for the next year. Back there, you know, we're right there at the New Year's Eve party. And I'm going to tell you, oh man, we just go, what? No. No, that can't be. You know, that we'd have this COVID crisis that would circle the earth and touch every nation. You know, that we would have so many millions of jobs lost and so many people thrown into economic insecurity and uncertainty and not knowing what's next. And that is still with us. That's still with us. And I thank you for the gifts you've given to our help fund and the way we've been able to help individuals with that. But nobody knew that. And then all that would happen around the search for justice and fairness and the right way to serve as protectors and all of those pieces that then, you know, led to protests and then in our own city, protests/riots for 105, 106 nights. It's just, none of us could have known this. And the ways in which we've wondered what is happening and how long will this be and how can we help make things right again and how can we, you know, be, you know, one nation undivided. How can this happen? The sadness in our hearts and that loss of trust in each other, all of those pieces. And now, this week, the fires. My heart, and I know all of our hearts, go out to these people that had no warning at all there on Route 22. That Santiam, the ravines there, no warning. And we know the word that I read last night before I went to bed was that the authorities believe that there are dozens of lives lost. Nobody knows for sure. And that grim task will begin even as the fires are still being fought. Half mile from Estacada last night. And boy, I'll tell you what. I praised God yesterday when I woke up and I realized that the wind had stopped and it even switched. And mine read 2 miles an hour coming from the north. And I was just like, thank you. That was the very prayer that we've been praying at our house was, Lord, please turn that fire back on itself. Let it devour itself. That's been our prayer, that God would work. And we're just rejoicing that this weather has made that turn. And we pray for the rains to come. Amen. We're praying for rain. People say, hold off the rain till the middle of October. No, it can come in September this year. We're ready for it. Ready for it now. We look at this and we ask the question, how long, O Lord? How long? How much more, O Lord? How much more? When can we return to life as normal? Have you asked yourself that question? You know, do you think the election is going to solve this? You know, we look and just go, wow. We're in a time where we're being invited. In fact, Pastor Emily, as you were sharing, I thought, you know, you were sharing back even way back in April, and I thought, this is kind of like boot camp. We're kind of like boot camp. I know people have talked to me and they said, Pastor, do you believe this is the little time of trouble, the prophesied little time of trouble? And my answer to that is, perhaps we'll know looking back. What we do know is it is a time of trouble. We're in a time of trouble, and God is not absent. Amen? You know, that whole thing, you know, God is nowhere. You divide the word differently, it goes, God is now here. You know, God is nowhere. God is now here. And he's here among us. And his spirit is drawing us to Jesus, to press in closer to Christ, and to know the joy of the Lord in him, which is our strength. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Psalm 74. You might have it on your device. We are not, you know, at this time, we're no longer having Bibles in the pews or hymnals, as you can see. So we'll invite you to bring your Bibles going forward here. But Psalm 74, and I'm going to begin there with verse 1. This is a psalm of lament. It's a psalm of lament. Why lament? Because God's people, his land, has been devastated. In fact, you're going to hear the word smoke and fire in these verses. And it's the psalm written by Asaph, who cries out in lament to our God. Verse 1. O God, why do you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage. Remember Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Direct your steps to the perpetual ruins. The enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary. Whew. Those are heavy words. Those are heart-rending, heart-wrenching words. It was just a week ago Friday, a week ago yesterday, and I had just come back from the memorial service there, the interment service at Willamette National Cemetery for our dear brother, Bob Dasher. And I'd come here, my heart was already sad, but I came here and I walked in the sanctuary to set up for the service, which would be held Sabbath afternoon at 4 o'clock here, memorial service. And as I came walking in here, suddenly I got hit with a wave of emotion. And I've been walking in here off and on for the last 6 months, but I'd never experienced what I experienced last Friday when I walked in here. And it just suddenly hit and rolled over me. In my mind's eye, I saw us all here standing and praising the Lord together back there on March 7. And it just struck me, and the words formed in my mind, an enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. And as those words formed, then on their heels came these words, but God is with us. God is in this. God has not left us alone. God is actually in these dire straits. He's the one who's drawing us to him. He's the one who is preparing us and wanting us to trust him completely with our lives, to experience what Pastor Emily said here just minutes ago, that even before this is solved, that the peace that passes understanding would be in our hearts. We would already be living in that peace, which then makes us those that God can use to reach out to our neighbor, our loved ones and our neighbors, the people around us, the lives that we're touching. The Lord has laid it on my heart. I was in Walmart yesterday looking for a watermelon, and I'm sorry, the Hermiston ones were all out. I'm really sorry. So, but I did find one from Othello, Washington. I realized the lady behind the counter, I just saw her face, and I thought, the Lord laid on me. I said, you need to bring joy to her. My job was not to go and just check out, you know, but my call is to share the joy of the Lord in that place with that lady in that moment. And I just saw her, and I said, thank you for serving today. And I said, how was your day? When did you start this morning? And, 6:30. I said, sky's kind of beautiful. And she says, oh, it's a different color. And so we start this conversation, and it was, God used that. And I walked out of there, and the Spirit confirmed in my spirit, that's exactly what I wanted you to do. See, we're living this thing of us being, even the quarantine where it made us be quiet longer, if we could turn off our devices and let the Spirit kind of lead, and in that place to respond, that's what God's doing right now. In this statement where he says, the enemy has destroyed everything in the sanctuary. It's heartbreaking to me. I'll share with you the thing I'm concerned most about. I'm concerned about our children. I'm concerned about our children because I know their little hearts have hearts for Jesus. And I know this is a time of such disruption. My prayers are for the prayers of the moms and dads and the single moms and the single dads, but those who are raising children. I'm saying children up to the age 13, but it's that age, but it can go beyond that. High school, you high school kids as well, and young people and college students, but my prayer is that our children, this generation, who's not able to be in church and Sabbath school, but that moms and dads, that you lead them to Christ in your own, as you lead them to Christ in your own home, that their hearts will turn to you and that a righteous generation will be raised up. I'm praying that God will raise up from our children, among our children, a righteous generation, and that they will not spend this time being drawn to Netflix and all the rest of the pieces. I'm not saying there's never anything good there. Don't miss me here. I'm saying all that the world wants to do to draw our young people, our children away, and indeed to corrupt them, that this would be a righteous generation who would choose those things which tend and lead to righteousness and to make them strong, that we are ready when we come out of this, and that we are, quote-unquote, back to normal, whatever that is and whenever that is, that we will come out as God's people ready to share the word of Christ and the love of Christ, and not just the old guys like me, the old white hairs, but the younger generation and the children among us. Let's keep reading here. Verse 4, your foes have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They set up their own signs for signs. They were like those who swing axes in a forest of trees and all its carved wood. They broke down with hatchets and hammers. They set your sanctuary on fire. They profaned the dwelling place of your name, bringing it down to the ground. They said to themselves, we will utterly subdue them. They burned all the meeting places of God in the land. Whew. That's an assault on the church. It's an assault on the people of God and the places where the people of God meet, in order to bring. Now, here's the thing. Nobody can separate us from the Lord. Nobody outside of us can separate us. This takes our permission. Circumstances are not the issue here. If we'll press into Christ and be Spirit-led, word and spirit under the blood, then we will grow strong in the Lord, no matter what the circumstances are of whether we can be in this building or not. Amen? I mean, that's the issue here. Verse 9, we do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet. Ooh, nobody's speaking the word of the Lord. There is none among us who knows how long. How long, O God, is the foe to scoff? Is the enemy to revile your name forever? Is this thing going to never end? This is what Asaph is asking. Is your name, will your name be reviled forever? Well, we know the answer to that. But the cry for how long is the cry of our own hearts. Verse 18, remember this, O Lord. Verse 18, remember this, O Lord, how the enemy scoffs. And a foolish people reviles your name. Do not deliver the souls of your dove to the wild beasts. Oh, do you hear the pathos in those words? Do not deliver the soul of your dove, your precious dove, to the wild beasts. Do not forget the life of your poor forever. Have regard for the covenant. Remember that covenant that formed out of loving kindness, the Hesed? He said, for the dark places of the land are full of the habitations of violence. Let not the downtrodden turn back in shame. Let the needy, poor and needy, praise your name. And then here's the call. Arise, O God, defend your cause. Arise, O God, defend your cause. The foolish scoff at you. Don't forget. The clamor of the foes, the uproar goes against you. Continue. And he's making this call, and it's the call of our heart. Arise, O God, and defend. Defend your people and teach us what it means to walk in step with Jesus in such a time as this. Amen? You know, this is not catching us. This should not be catching us by surprise. I mean, Matthew 24 and verse 12, Jesus said, because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. People have asked me again and again in these past months, where are we in prophecy? And I say, Matthew 24:12. Because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. This is the period in which we now live. Lawlessness means refusal to be subordinate to God's law, to come under God and say, you're my creator, you're my redeemer, I bow before you. It's to step out and say, I'll be autonomous, allow unto myself. That's where I'll be. And that is the lawlessness that we see now in our world. Verse 13 says, but the one who endures to the end. Does anybody like that word, endurance? I like batteries that endure, okay, at home. When I have a battery that endures, I go, oh, good, that's a good battery, it endures. When someone tells me you're going to need to endure, I kind of go, I'm not sure I was going to sign up for that one. But the one who endures, the endurance to the end, he says, that's the one who will be saved. You know, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Let's keep that verse right there, but remember this. We don't need to go to this. I'll just quote this to you. But Revelation 24:14 says, here is the endurance of the saints. What's it look like? Here are they that keep the commandments of God in a time of lawlessness. Don't miss that. Keep the commandments of God in a time of lawlessness and the faith of Jesus. Ooh, faith, their faith in Jesus, which is what 14 is. And this good news, our faith in Jesus, is now what we get to share with others in the midst of this. This faith of Jesus, so that throughout the world is a testimony, the faith that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world is a testimony or witness to all nations, then the end will come. So we ask the question, how to do that? Yeah, the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel. You know that in Matthew 24, that Jesus is going back and forth between big picture, time of the end, but also picture of time of the end of the people of Israel, that 70 weeks that will come to an end, and all of those pieces that they would see when the Roman armies surrounded them, all that. But here's the question for us today, right now, called to be those who endure in a time of lawlessness, who endure whatever it is that comes and the enemy throws. How do we do this? 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. 2 Chronicles, when's the last time you opened your Bible to Chronicles? If you're reading through the Bible this year, you probably have reached that place. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 12, I read these words. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Here it comes, verse 13. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain. Now you have to understand, that phrase goes all the way back to the giving and the covenant that was made back in the wilderness. You can read those words there in Deuteronomy. When the no rain in Numbers. Well, you look at this and you say, there is no rain. Or I command the locust to devour the land. Or I send, here it is, pestilence, plague among my people. Verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name. Don't you love the fact that you have the family name of God? We're his followers. We're his family. If my people called by my name. Number one, there's going to be 4 points. Humble themselves. To humble means I go from here as my autonomous self. And I step back under and I bow before him not once but twice. As my creator and as my redeemer. And I humble myself before him. Humble themselves, secondly, and pray. Number three, seek my face. That's that eye-to-eye contact. That's him, us looking for his eyes and finding that his eyes are looking for our eyes. Seek his face and turn from their wicked ways. That's a work of repentance. That's a work of going, you know what? The Spirit is speaking, and I've been drowning it out, but you know what? Everything's on the table, Lord. You call me to say no to this? You call me to say this is not to be part of my life? You're my Lord and my Savior. I'm following you, Jesus. I'm letting it go. I'm offering it up. I'm offering it up, that call to repentance. He says, then, this isn't one of those if-thens, if my people, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Is that your prayer? My prayer has become a prayer for repentance and revival. Two R's here. Repentance that leads to revival. And it must begin. This is not a mass movement. This is one-on-one with God. The people of God, one-on-one with our Lord, praying for repentance. Lord, is there anything between you and me? We offer it up, and we say yes, and we let him, through his Spirit, revive and bring us to life. We're talking resurrection life, the power of the resurrection that God is bringing into our own lives. That's what we're talking. It's the power of the resurrection of Jesus through the Spirit he's pouring into our lives, that you and I get to be his people. And right in this time, when everything seems like it's all just coming apart, oh, this is God. This is God at work in our lives to form a people, to be ready to proclaim the loud cry of Revelation 18, Christ our righteousness. Now, before I leave this verse, you know I've got to go do this, okay? So, you know I got to go do this. And so, Pastor Emily, I've got to warn you that sometimes I do, like, trick questions. So, okay, so don't, okay, so here we go. Everybody ready? Okay, where it says here that he says right here that he said, I will forgive their sin and forgive their sin. Question, does God forgive sins?
No.
God doesn't forgive sins?
No.
Huh. What does God do? He forgives
sinners.
He forgives sinners. What does he do with sins? Takes them to the cross. What does he do with sin? He nails those sins to the cross. That's where the sins go. He makes atonement for sin. Does God forgive sins? Uh-uh. But oh, this God, does he ever forgive sinners? He forgives sinners. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow. Okay. So here we are. And God says, I'm going to work this. This is good gospel. This good gospel. This is crucial. We miss this. We miss the biblical gospel. So in the place of good gospel and God's promise that he will heal our land, we get to end on this verse I love. It's Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, and I love these words in Isaiah 43. Remember, Isaiah is the gospel prophet. He's the one that keeps pointing forward to Jesus again and again and again. You know, unto you a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I mean, this is Isaiah. Look what he says in 43 and verse 1. But now, says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. Our creator, right? And he's formed us. And what's the next word? Fear not, I have redeemed you. Remember we said creator, redeemer. There they are. Fear not, I have redeemed you. Redeem, I've bought you back. You were there in that slave market. You had lost your freedom. I come and buy you out of that. By the way, I buy you out of that with what? My own life. Ooh. Gave his life as a ransom for many. I have called you by name. You are mine. Is this good news today? And all God's people said, I've called you by name, the Lord says. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters, I'm there. Through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. By the way, you know who Isaiah is speaking of here. Red Sea, Jordan River. Okay? Why he says it twice? They will not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, the fire of that desert, of that exile, going to Babylon. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. Think of those three Hebrew young men, that fiery furnace. Wow. You're not going to be burned. The flame shall not consume you. Here it is, verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I'm your Savior. I'm your rescuer. I've got this. I've got it. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush, Sheba, in return for you. Here it is, verse 4. I love this. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. Whoa. Whoa. Because you are precious, and I honor you, and I love you. This is the God that you and I are being invited to trust our very lives to. God is so good. As you leave today, you'll see on the reader board. You're going to see on the reader board in front of the sanctuary. You know, God is so good. You can trust him with your life. He's that good. You are precious in my eyes. You're honored. I love you. I give men in exchange for you, people in exchange for your life. Fear not, I'm with you. I want to end with these words. These are words that we've shared together before in this place. But they're words that are so powerful. Words by a man named Larry Crabb, who is a Christian counselor and has blessed my life. But here are his words. He's going to speak to brokenness, hope, and joy. Here we go. Brokenness. Brokenness, speaking to our time that we're in right now, brokenness is realizing he is all we have. Have you reached that point yet? That's the lesson of the last 6 months, brothers and sisters. The lesson of the last 6 months, capped by this week, this very week, is brokenness, is realizing he is all we have. Hope. What is hope? Hope is realizing he is all we need. Are you there yet? Because when we're there, that's when the peace comes. Before it's even solved, the hope for tomorrow, before it's even solved, hope is realizing he's all we need. And here comes joy. Joy is realizing he's all we want. Okay? I go, well, yeah, well, but of course, you're all, when my heart is undivided, you know, undivided, an eye undivided, that's joy, the joy, just, you're all I want. All this other stuff, man, you're all I want. And the song has become so powerful for Leanne and myself through these months since the middle of June. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And when the joy of the Lord is in our hearts, the circumstances cannot take us down. God's got this. Amen. Our hope is built on Him. Him alone. You ready to sing about it? Let's do it. Hymn number 522. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Let's stand together, lift our voices as we sing this song of great hope and joy. Lord God, on this day, we thank You for this great privilege. We thank You for this great privilege, Lord, on this day, to turn to You and to trust You with our lives. God, You are so good, and we trust You with everything we are, everything we have, everything that we long for. Lord, we give it all to You. And we recognize, Lord, that joy comes when we realize that You are the one, You are all we want, and we want You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, may that love between You and us be a love that fills our hearts and the love that we share with each other. And that we, as the people of God, as the family of God together, that we be Your blessing to our neighbors, to our families, to our neighbors, to the stranger among us. God, may we be Your people, living as people of hope with the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So on this day, if it's Your desire to say yes to this God and to receive His Spirit of strength and love and hope in your life, would you just lift your hand to Him and say, Jesus, yes, I'm saying yes to You. Thank You, Lord. You're saying yes to us. We say yes to You. May we go from here strong in the strength of the Lord is our prayer. And we thank You in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, and all God's people shouted,